Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Welcome everybody in Blog Talk Radio. I am having trouble with Facebook connection. It says I have no internet, but man, if I'm on Blog Talk Radio, I have internet. So I'm working to have my Facebook Live working, but it's not working right now. So welcome everybody to Soul Purpose Healing. Thank you for joining me this evening. Don't know what's going on. I've had trouble all day, though, with StreamYard. So I don't think it's my internet as much as it is something going on with StreamYard. So I'm going to keep working on that and see if I can connect. But it's saying check network cables, modem, router, everything is working as far as I can. I even have a booster in my place. Not just counting on the Wi-Fi from my son's house, which is usually strong enough, but I have bought a booster, or he put a booster in for me that is supposed to help with Wi-Fi. So it's reconnecting, and we'll see what happens tonight. I have invited two of my friends to join me, two of my old friend and new friend to join me. Hopefully they'll come in this evening on StreamYard, but StreamYard, again, is kind of sketchy tonight, so they might have to call in for us to have this very, very important conversation, because we are in a new beginning of sorts. We're in a new beginning of sorts with the universe, with Earth, and so it's so important that we talk about fourth dimensional activities and things that are helping us stay woke. And I was listening to an interview by Erica Badu. Some of you may know who Erica Badu. She's a very beautiful soul sister who is very unique in her music and her beliefs. And the interview, she was talking about what woke actually means for her. And I loved her definition because we hear that word thrown around a lot, woke, whether it be the anti-woke, the woke, whatever. And her definition is being aware and in alignment with nature. Ah, that's what woke means. And so another word for woke is consciousness in my mind. I'm going along with Erica Badu's definition of woke, which is being aware and in alignment with nature. Consciousness, that's the same definition I would give to consciousness, being aware and in alignment with nature, which means being aware in alignment with our Creator. And Soul Purpose Healing was created to bring us, the planet Earth inhabitants, human beings, to bring us back into alignment with the Most High Creator of the universe. So, wow. I am so excited to just be here every Sunday night and every Friday morning on Female Solutions and here on Soul Purpose Healing to share with you my journey of becoming more aligned with nature and the Creator. So before we get into our discussion about consolidating and integrating and some sex talk that we need to have, can we talk? Because there's so much confusion out there about sexuality, gender, and all that. And I want to talk about synchronicity, what synchronicity is like in my life these days. It is so crazy and yet so exciting to have this synchronicity joining me every day when I wake up, that things happen and they're in alignment with the cosmos, nature. So on Friday, I was invited to a meeting of sacred sexuality, regenerative culture gathering. It was called regenerative culture gathering, sacred sexuality, and the house was only 10 minutes away. So I said, "Oh, gotta go there." It sounded like a great topic. I was thinking a lot about my own sexuality and the relationships I'm in and all that. And so, yeah, I'm going to go and participate. Regenerative culture gathering for sacred sexuality. So I've invited Carla and Yoshi, who were two participants in that gathering of about 30 people. And we very openly shared in that meeting our sexual journey in every way. You can imagine people sharing about their homosexual experiences, their pornography experiences, polyamory experiences, polygamy, whatever. The range was just full for that evening of conversation about the sexual experience, about this sacred journey that we're on with our sacred body. So I was just amazed at the transparency of everyone there. And I realized at the end of the evening that I was connected to a very conscious and like-minded community of people. And I'm so excited to begin a journey with this group of people because everybody left their egos at the door. No indication whatsoever of ego or selfie at mind or anything regarding it's all about me. It was all about community. People brought food. There was breath work, a little stretching, yoga, all that was involved. So that was Friday evening. Now, yesterday, Saturday, I spent the whole day practically with my two grandchildren, my son and his girlfriend, and then other people joined us at a festival, a spring festival in Winter Garden, Florida, which is a few minutes away from here. Just an amazing congregation outside of people, plants selling, food vendors, just blocks and blocks of all types of activities related to nourishing the soul, nourishing people, nourishing us as a family of the community, mostly community yesterday. And talking about synchronicity, now here's the synchronicity. Yesterday I was in a group of adults, and some children were around as well as we talked about sex yesterday, last night, Friday night. And there were children running around, about five children ranging from two on up to maybe 9 or 10 years old, running around just playing. They were just playing with each other. And we talked about every aspect of sex. Those kids didn't even think about it. They ran around and just had fun. So yesterday at the park or at the festival, I noticed that my six-year-old grandson was enjoying a water park activity where the water was shooting straight up, and he was enjoying the water shooting up around his groin. You could tell with the smile and the laughter that this was a sexual experience for this six-year-old. And he got somewhat angry at Grandma that I was taking pictures of his private, sacred moment. So I look at this as a synchronistic moment. Because one day it was all about sacred sex conversation, how we can grow in that, how can we mature, how we can get better at this. And then the next day I'm witnessing a six-year-old at the beginning of his sacred journey of feeling the energy in the first and second chakra of life, if you will, of life. So I found a audio by Neil Diamond, Donald Walsh. Some of you will be very happy to hear this because you're familiar with Neil Donald Walsh is the author of Conversations with God. This man has many books he's written, but the most popular, Conversations with God, is a journal of conversations he had when he was in a very low place, homeless, and he started talking to the Most High Creator, asking questions about this and that. And this particular audio we're going to listen to is about sex and sexuality. And this is what he heard from the Creator of the universe about sex. So I want to start us off with this because this is a good foundation to begin to undo some of the misconceptions, some of the confusion, some of the lies that we've all heard that can bring us to a healthier persexuality and this new paradigm to the fourth, fifth dimension where we don't have any conflicts, no wars, especially with our own body, because that's what happens a lot is we're at war with our own body. The feelings that we have about sex, spiritual energy exchange, are in confusion. Why? Because our parents were in confusion about it. And many of us had parents who were very religious and traditional, and they really didn't want to talk to us about it. So we had to learn from the world we view of sex. Some of us went crazy with it, and some of us stayed in our traditional shame and guilt. And so tonight, we want to bring you out of the shame and guilt of your sexual experience, and hopefully my guests will join me to bring us into a more enlightened culture And that's what I experienced on Friday. The culture of people that were there were mostly Hispanic, Ecuador, South American, and they bring a more, I think, liberal perspective and belief about sexuality from some of the Christian experiences that I've heard and experienced in my own life. So let us start with Neil Donald Walsh sharing his conversation with God on sex and sexuality.
And of course, there is no devil with whom to traffic.
Is sex okay? Come on, what is the real story behind this human experience? Is sex purely for procreation, as some religions say? Is true holiness and enlightenment achieved through denial or transmutation of the sexual energy? Is it okay to have sex without love? Is just the physical sensation of it okay enough as a reason?
Of course sex is okay. Again, if I didn't want you to play certain games, I wouldn't have given you the toys. You give your children things you don't want them to play with? Play with sex. Play with it. It's wonderful fun. Why, it's just about the most fun you can have with your body if you're talking of strictly physical experiences alone. But for goodness sake, don't destroy sexual innocence and pleasure and the purity of the fun, the joy, by misusing sex. Don't use it for power, for hidden purpose, for ego gratification or domination, for any purpose other than the purest joy and the highest ecstasy given and shared, which is love and love recreated, which is new life. Have I not chosen the delicious way to make more of you? With regard to denial, I've dealt with that before. Nothing holy has ever been achieved through denial. Your desires change as even larger realities are glimpsed. It is not unusual, therefore, for people to simply desire less or even no sexual activity. Or for that matter, any of a number of activities of the body. For some, the activities of the soul become foremost and by far the more pleasurable. Each to his own without judgment. That is the motto. The end of your question is answered this way. You don't need to have a reason for anything. Just be cause. Be the cause of your experience. Remember, experience produces concept of self. Conception produces creation. Creation produces experience. You want to experience yourself as a person who has sex without love? Go ahead. You'll do that until you don't want to anymore. And the only thing that could ever cause you to stop this or any behavior is your newly emerging thought about who you are. It's as simple and as complex as that.
Why did you make sex so good, so spectacular, so powerful a human experience if all we're supposed to be doing is staying away from it as much as we can? What gives? And for that matter, why are all fun things either immoral, illegal, or fattening?
I've answered the end of this question with what I've just said. All fun things are not immoral, illegal, or fattening. Your life is, however, an interesting exercise in defining what fun is. To some, fun means sensations of the body. To others, fun may be something entirely different. It all depends on who you think you are and what you are doing here. There is much more to be said about sex than is being said here, but nothing more essential than this. Sex is joy, and many of you have made sex everything else but. Sex is sacred, too. Yes, but joy and sacredness do mix. They are, in fact, the same things, and many of you think they do not. Your attitudes about sex form a microcosm of your attitudes about life. Life should be a joy, a celebration, and it has become an experience of fear, anxiety, not enoughness, envy, rage, and tragedy. The same can be said about sex. You have repressed sex, even as you have repressed life, rather than fully self-expressing with abandon and joy. You have shamed sex, even as you have shamed life, calling it evil and wicked, rather than the highest gift and the greatest pleasure. Before you protest that you have not shamed life, look at your collective attitudes about it. Four-fifths of the world's people consider life a trial, a tribulation, a time of testing, a karmic debt that must be paid, a school with harsh lessons that must be learned, and in general, an experience to be endured while awaiting the real joy, which is after death. It's a shame that so many of you think this way. Small wonder you have applied shame to the very act which creates life. The energy which underscores sex is the energy which underscores life, which is life. The feeling of attraction and the intense and often urgent desire to move toward each other, to become one, is the essential dynamic of all that lives. I have built it into everything. It is inbred, inherent, inside all that is. The moral codes, religious constrictions, social taboos, and emotional conventions you have placed around sex, and by the way, around love and all of life, have made it virtually impossible for you to celebrate your being. From the beginning of time, all man has ever wanted is to love and be loved. And from the beginning of time, man has done everything in his power to make it impossible to do that. Sex is an extraordinary expression of love. Love of another, love of self, love of life. You ought to therefore love it. And you do. You just can't tell anyone you do. You don't dare show how much you love it, or you'll be called a pervert. Yet this is the idea that is perverted. For you personally, simply know this. I have given you nothing shameful, least of all your very body and its functions. There is no need to hide your body or its functions, nor your love of them and of each other. Your television programs think nothing of showing naked violence, but shrink from showing naked love. Your whole society reflects that priority.
Is there life on other planets? Have we been visited?
There is so much to be digested in that audio, but I just love it because it's very balanced in male-female voices. If you notice, Neil Donald Walsh presents the creator's voice as male and female, which is what I love about his presentation in audio form, is that we're hearing from the creator of these bodies in that audio. For those of you who are just joining me, we're listening to an audio from Neil Donald Walsh's book about sex and sexuality. That's our topic tonight, sex talk. We're going to have sex talk to bring us out of the shame and guilt. And that's what I observed with my six-year-old grandson, who was having pleasure from a water spout in his groin area. And yes, grandma was having a chuckle of fun with it, but he was actually embarrassed and angry almost at me for taking pictures of him having that enjoyment. I have no idea where that comes from or where it came from, but it's possible that one of his parents is putting some shame and guilt on him because it was unusual for me to observe his guilt and shame at 6 years old for finding pleasure in a water spout. So tonight, we want to examine how we can, number one, live our lives more joyful in this sacred act and make sure we are more aware and conscious of the abuse of power in this sacred act and be the, what does she say, the cause of our experience, exercise to determine fun. And what about fear and anxiety that we have had and shame from the sexual act, the spiritual energy exchange? We want to talk about that tonight to free us, to free some of us of these old ideas about sex, which is interfering with relationships, right? It's all about relationships. And the meeting that I had on Friday with some like-minded people It's all about developing and starting a new community, a new relationship with people who want to form a bartering community, a stronger economic community, not state or city, but community. It's one thing to have a strong economy in a country or a city or whatever, but I had never really thought about a strong economic system in a community of people, in a city, in a particular area. And that's what I experienced on Friday night, which I want to explore with you tonight, because that is how we are going to transform and have a new beginning for humanity in this planet Earth, and especially in the United States, Estados Unidos. We want to build a new sacred community, and even exploring the idea of sacred sex is part of that. For those of you who are wondering why are we talking about this topic, having transparent, open, authentic conversations about something so important, something so powerful, if you will, spiritually, not in terms of physical, but so powerful spiritually, we want to bring us, our families, into like-minded relationships that will empower us and give us what we need to survive and thrive in this crazy, crazy society we live in right now, where our government is pretty much warmongering about everything and holding committee meetings every day to talk about things that may not personally even affect us as individuals. But our government loves to have committee meetings and talk about everything from Twitter files to impeachments and all the things that may not even have concern in the average family. But how many of you can say that you have had lots of concern about the relationship you're in? How many of you are battling the sexual energy in your body or with your partner or with someone in the past even? For instance, rape. If there's ever been violence in your sexual experience, we want to help you tonight to find healing with even that, because as we redefine what this SEX is, this spiritual energy exchange, we can be transformed and start a new beginning, not being affected by past energies, past violence, if we are ready to open our minds, open our hearts, to the Creator's idea of what this really means, and that we never really got lessons from our parents. I would love if some of you can share, what did your parents teach you about this spiritual energy exchange? I asked my son today if he remembers whether myself or his dad had any conversations with him about SEX, nope. And I know I didn't have a conversation with him. I'm sure I didn't, except once we saw the porn activity in the house, we were like, I've got to stop that. Don't talk about it. And there was never a discussion about, well, why and how do we process it. It was just no, don't do that. That's a no. And so I am guilty of being ignorant in my parent role in not educating my children, my two sons, about this activity. And so I have an opportunity now to relate to my grandchildren in a healthier way, holistic way. And I believe that was the synchronicity of me being invited to a very conscious, open-minded community on this subject. And then the following day, actually seeing my grandson experiencing this energy in a surprise in some ways, and really and starting to recognize even my granddaughter having this awareness about her sexuality. And they're only 6 and 8. So if you have young grandchildren or children that you're struggling with, we hope tonight that you're going to become more aware and more at peace about having conversations on this subject so that we can raise a healthier generation, a healthier group of girls and boys who can really express their sacred energy in a way that isn't confusing, fearful, shameful, or full of guilt. So that's our intention tonight. And I hope you'll maybe call your friends and maybe family members who might need to hear this conversation, because we're moving into something new and special. I had a friend, Caroline Chang, who was a guest on my show a few weeks ago, sends me all kinds of enlightening information. And she sent me some information about Pluto, the planet Pluto, returning to Aquarius, or Pluto's in Aquarius. It started on March 23rd, 6, 7, 8, which was, I think that was a 6 maybe. And it's going all the way till June. What does this mean? It means a new beginning for humanity. So last month, in fact, just over a week ago, we entered into a cosmic energy, a cosmic force that placed us into a new beginning. And I would have to say, even in my own life, I'm going to look at my calendar, even in my own life, experience that week, the beginning of that week, actually, let's see, today is April. In that period of time, after April 23rd, or no, after March 23rd, in my own life, I experienced some interesting energy that made me pause in my relationship and reconsider how I want to move forward. So I would have to say personally, and I was talking about this to a friend of mine, how events that took place in my life last week actually were kind of interesting and at first confusing. I was thinking, okay, what does this mean? Blah, 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 blah. And then I get this message from Caroline. Again, synchronicity, no accidents in life, in my life at least. I get this message from Caroline saying, Pluto is very active in Aquarius, March 23rd. It started on a Thursday, and so my weekend was very interesting, almost to display that energy or at least affect me in a way that I took pause. And now I realize that as where I am now mentally, emotionally, that was a new beginning for me. Even though it may have started out in confusion and something that I had questioned, I realize now it was a new beginning for me. So let me see. Naima Matisse is in the studio. I'm going to open her mic. And if she's ready for commercials, Naima, your mic is open. And I'll just be quiet for a little while.
All righty. And if you're on our switchboard, the female solution, and have something to say, press 1 so I can let our host know that you are ready to speak. And here we go.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
And we are back in the studio. Thank you, Naima Latif. And if you have a question or comment, press 1 in the studio here at Soul Purpose Healing or in the Female Solutions Studio, and Naima will let me know. I am back on Facebook. My screen did go black because the internet just crashed on. I don't know why it didn't crash in the studio, but I've had problems all day with StreamYard. So I think it's not my internet so much as StreamYard having a connection issue, which is, I think, another synchronistic moment for us, that sometimes in our relationships, we're not streaming the same energy from our mind and our heart. We get into these relationships, and I believe, and I think this might be true for most of us if you want to comment, that we have this old thinking that sex is about getting a climax. And so that's what we work toward, right? Instead of, like last night, I experienced a teaching, not last night, Friday night, I experienced a teaching about Tantra sexuality, where there is a pause. There's a pause in tantric sexuality experience relationships where you're not going after the climax. Okay, you're going after. In fact, you've come together to be one and to experience the energy of the other person. And that is to say, when you decide to have a sexual experience with another person, the mind is so involved that we forget about the mental, emotional aspect sometimes, and we go into this robot behavior of, okay, let's do this, and this. And let's just keep the big old climax in mind. And in tantric sexuality, that's not what it's about. A more fulfilling relationship with your partner is going to involve consciousness and breathing. And that's something I never had in the past relationships that I've been in. There was never any thought of breath work in the sexual experiences I had as a young woman or in the past. There was no mention of it, but Friday night, that was part of the teaching and the instruction about moving into a different relationship with spiritual energy exchange, SEX, is that there should be, to make it a fulfilling alignment with the Most High Creator and bring in the sacredness and the joy. When you bringing in the sacredness and the joy in a spiritual energy exchange involves breath work, breathing consciousness of your breath, and it involves communication, not necessarily verbal, but a pause in the activity. And I just, when I think about my own youthful experience, nothing like that. And I lost my, and I'm going to be very transparent tonight because this is all about helping us as a community to become more conscious and more consolidated and integrating. The topic is consolidating, integrating, and sex talk with like-minded souls. So if this topic is disturbing for you, uncomfortable for you, then you might want to tune in tomorrow with Monday Morning Mindfulness for different topics, or some other time during the week. The Female Solution has all types of conversations that you can. But tonight I'm going to be transparent, open, and listening to the voice of the Most High to really express what I learned in the last few days, which was so synchronistic. As I said, I started out with a group of very like-minded, conscious individuals, 30 people outside under the moon, talking very openly, very transparent about sexuality. There was no hesitation whatsoever. Each person expressing their journey in everything from homosexuality, plural marriage, polygamy, pornography. There was no subject that wasn't spoken about in the individual testimonies of these people. So it was beautiful in the sense of being transparent, open-minded, and coming into a new relationship with like-minded people, consolidating the intent of the group to grow economically, to grow in bartering, to grow in our trust, to grow in the faith, and to grow in integrating the cultures. Because everyone there, as I listened to them, we were listening to cultures, not race. It wasn't about race. Even though there were different races, as you would consider race, but we were listening to cultural experiences. South America, the United States, Europe, you name it. People in that gathering had cultural experiences. And that's what you realize in America. There's the same experience in any given city, cultural experiences, not necessarily racial, cultural. And it brings us to, I hope, a point tonight of non-judgment. That's what I felt after all the people had given their testimony, being transparent, being open, being honest. No judgment. And we applauded each one for sharing such personal information and experience. But when you are in a group of like-minded people where the ego's the door, this is what you get. You get honesty, transparency. And this is where I'm headed in my journey going forward. And that's why New Beginning for Humanity, because Pluto is returning to Aquarius. That's the cosmic energy over tonight. Pluto has returned to Aquarius, so we got that working on our behalf. Universal truth, numbers, all that. And then we had synchronicity working over the weekend for me to share with you how the divine appointments occur in our lives if we pay it. And also I have 11-11 again. Oh, my goodness. I got into the same car, same seat with my family. And on the dashboard, it was 74 degrees on one side and 74 degrees on another side. Guess what 7 and 4 add up to? 11. So I'm looking at the same situation been with my family, same people involved in the last 11/11 experience I had. And that showed me that I needed to pay attention and listen to what Spirit was teaching me in that moment. And as I said, share with you, some of you later, my grandson experience was powerful to connect the events of sexuality one evening, transparency, openness, and then a six-year-old expressing that energy at such a young age. So I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready and excited to develop a new community, new beginnings, and I want to hear from you. So I have someone who's pressed one in the studio. I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic. 773-366, your mic is open. Welcome.
Hey, Viada, it's Naima on the other phone. Yes, I had to. Yeah, I have to go to another room so you don't hear an echo from all the other connections I have. But you know, you mentioned tantric sex, and our society is so messed up about sex that they cannot comprehend spirituality and sexuality being expressed. Now, I'm really working on having at some point Tina Louise Spaulding on the show, who's written, you know, she channels the one we know as Jesus and has written several books. But one of the things, of course, that's been revealed in the books is, well, you know, Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married and they had children and they were into tantric sex. You know, the whole expressiveness of it. Now, people listening to that might look at it almost as blasphemous because somehow in our twisted minds, we can't conceive of one that's considered holy as being sexual. But he was very sexual, and sex is a spiritual expression. And, you know, and I love how in Neil Donald Walsh's book, he has a male and female representing the voice of God because, you know, of course, God is not male or female. That's a, you know, physical designation in you know, gender. But in terms of energy, God is both, you know, what we would consider male and female energy. But the more perverted a society is, or the more repressive a society is about sex, the more perverted they become in their behavior. The people who ultimately rewrote the information that we now look at as the Holy Bible, they had a whole lot of hang-ups. And they removed all references to females in the Bible. They removed the fact that there were women at that Last Supper, so you don't see any of those. They removed everything about Jesus and his wife and the marriage. Totally distorted Mary Magdalene and her identity because they had issues with women, femininity, their own masculinity. And so we got a lot of the perversion of that mentality that's infused in our culture. You find a lot of Eastern cultures where they're really into, you know, tantra and sexuality and, you know, feeling all the, you know, the kundalini awakening that comes with, you know, the orgasmic experience of your entire body and how that opens up your spiritual eye and all that stuff. We didn't even talk about that because here in the West, they're perverted because they come from a perverted attitude about sex not being spiritual. So we have to repair a whole generation of people. You know, the people coming up with your grandson and all the new people coming to Earth now, they have to be introduced to sexuality in a way that is not repressive, not perverted, not shameful, because all of those repressions is what creates the perversion. And that's why we get this hypersexuality, because sex was never integrated as a normal part of life. And until we do that, we're going to keep having perversions, extremes in behavior, violence connected with sex. You know, all of that lets us know something wrong with the way we teach. So, you know, I'm looking forward to undoing a lot of that, but I know it's going to be very difficult for the religious community because the brainwashing is so extremely centuries of brainwashing. And so to even have that image of a man that people have been taught to worship as non-sexual and to be told, well, this is somebody that was very sexual, skilled at it, had children, with a wife, oh, that's too much of them to take. So I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think people are, what kind of undoing mentally and emotionally would people need to do to be able to integrate the idea that their sexuality is an expression of their spirituality? What do you think about that?
Well, Naima, I think both of you and I like to read a lot, and so, and then we're also authors. Naima has written a couple of books, few books. I've written books, and I want to ask you, when people are interested in advancing and maturing in this knowledge, especially about Yeshua or the Messiah, where do you think they should start to renew their thinking? Because you're right, there are a lot of people who have been in religion, in Christianity especially, and in the other types of religion, that they have lost sight of the information you and I have learned and knowledge we have gained by reading. I've learned so much just by reading books and being in cultures of Eastern philosophy and so forth. So where do you think people should start if they're interested in gaining more knowledge on this subject of sacred sexuality?
Well, I would say, start with the Neil Donald Walsh books, like the excerpt that you played. I think, what more can you learn about your body and sexuality than by the power that created it? So that removes a lot of the distortions, and I love that piece that you played, because that really does help to undo a lot of the misteachings. But then there's so many layers of negative programming that have to be undone from parents, grandparents, the society, the religious institutions, just so much. A person, like you say, they have to decide to seek. They have to make a decision that they want their own soul's evolution, because if you look for approval for other people to decide you can think a certain way, it's never going to come. You have to make the decision that you want to grow. And you're going to outgrow some people because they're too steeped in fear to approach something that's been so taboo for so long. So I would say that series is a good place to start. Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, great series of books that you can get on video, you can get, e-books, all of that. Next series, I'd say Tina Louise Spaulding. She's got several books. Start out with Jesus, My Autobiography. And that's the real story of what happened. You'd be surprised the information that never made it to the Bible, such as his traveling to the East and studying and learning the skills that he learned, the healing skills and all that. Just it's so eye-opening. And even his explanation that, he didn't die for our sins. He was trying to demonstrate to his disciples that there is no death. When you master your mind, then you also understand the powers of creation. And, a person might injure your body, but you really have the power to recreate another. We do it all the time, when your body heals a wound. And he was demonstrating that you don't have to take oppression from people out of fear of death, because there is no death. And so this idea that God hates us and God's punishing us and somebody had to suffer so that God could forgive us, all that's false, all of it. And I just recently looked at when that idea was created, because it came out of a Roman theology of you have to sacrifice something to pay a debt. None of that is what his life was about. So we've been brainwashed so deeply, and so many centuries of people being forced to accept a belief or being killed if they refused, all of that's in our cellular memory. So we have to free a generation of oppression of thought. And Yeshua, that's what his mission was, to free people from the oppressive teachings of religion. And then, as soon as they got an opportunity, those same kind of thinking people hijacked his teachings and brought us right back into that repression. That's why they got rid of all the females in the Bible and any images of them being spiritual and made made womanhood be something condemnable. The whole Adam and Eve story, false. All of it, you know, well, women, they ate the apple and then they, you know, sinned. All of it's just false. And you cannot grow spiritually until you let that go. And that's hard because if this is what people got to go through school and theology school and learn and get a doctorate, how do you undo that? So the institutions aren't going to change. Individuals have to choose to change. They have to seek. They have to look. They have to decide to learn because no institution is built on incorrect teachings, misleading teachings, false teachings. It's going to elevate your soul. You, as a soul, have to decide to do it. So those two sources that I would say to start with and have an open mind and understand that you're not sinning and going to be condemned to hell because you're questioning and refuting everything you may have been taught in your life. You have to know, first of all, God ain't mad at nobody. You know, being angry at somebody, mm-hmm. that's an egoistic human trait. God's not jealous. Right. That's also an egoistic human trait. So we have to allow ourselves to grow and let go of fear and guilt so that we can.
And, you know, and speaking to the audience, if you like to be entertained, there is an interesting video or movie called History of the World. It's a series. It's a comedy series on Hulu. And I discovered it like the day after, I think it was the Wednesday show, when the men were talking about critical race theory on the female solution and private schools. And after that conversation, I kept hearing the words white supremacy. I'm saying, you know what, we need a history of the world because
yeah.
we need to learn about culture. And then the next day, I don't know if it was the same day or the next day, I see this advertisement on Facebook for the Hulu series called History of the World. So it just so happens my son, talk about synchronicity again. For those of you who are just joining me, I've had so many synchronistic moments in the last week that it just shows me how the divine energy is teaching me to pay attention. And this History of the World, my son has Hulu, so I went and watched one episode. And in one of the revelations or cultural, each they take different cultures in this series of History of the World. Like they take the Indian culture, they take the European culture, they take the African culture, and they go on slavery and all that, and they take this, and they find they actually present comedy or humor in these different cultures. But in the culture of the Orient, they actually show different sex positions that are being taught to this emperor and his wife. There's a scene, I couldn't believe I was watching this. Because it's on Hulu and people pay for this. So in this scene where it's in the Orient, Japan or China, one of those city locations, countries, and this man actually has a chart that he's showing to the emperor and his wife about different sex positions that they can practice. And it's again, it's comedy. So the emperor and the wife are like, oh, no, we don't like that one. And it's okay, we like that one. And I was like, yep, this is the culture that people are missing when they think only in the United States we are so unique in our racism or sexism or whatever. But if you were to explore and travel to other cultures, you'll find education, experiences that will teach you what we're talking about tonight, the sacredness, the joy of playing with sex as I play. And I'm going to play Neil Walsh again after the break because we've got some new people who've arrived. And I want you to really listen to Neil Donald Walsh's explanation of sex and sexuality from the creator's point of view. So, Naima, we're at the top of the hour. We're ready. Should I open up your other mic?
Yeah, I'm going to close this one. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to go to a commercial break. And when I come back, I want to play for you again Neil Donald Walsh's, it's about 6 minutes, of sex and sexuality from the creator's point of view. This is where we start tonight to grow and develop and mature. in this area of sexuality so that we can become consolidated and integrated to go forward with like minds and enjoying sex more and not having this puritanical view that it's dirty or bad or in any way not meant for us to explore. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll listen.
Hi, I'm Mama Joy.
And I'm Reverend Rosemary.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
So see you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Muted.
Thank you for joining us this evening. If you're just joining us, we're talking about consolidating, integrating, and sex talk with like-minded souls. And I had a very, very interesting and beautiful experience for Friday night with about 30 adults sharing their sexual experience with the group and really becoming more conscious about why we have these experiences and how we can improve them. And so I want to play for you one more time, for those of you who are just joining us, Neil Donald Walsh's journal book about Tall Conversations with God on the topic of sex and sexuality, which helps us have a more balanced and knowledge about what this thing called Spiritual Energy Exchange, SES, is really all about, in case you missed it. And I would love it if you have any experience you'd like to share with us about your childhood and how you were not informed at all and how you grew up experimenting, or as the audio shares, if you grew up as with exercises in sexual energy exchange that caused you to have pain or grief or anxiety or fear, and it starts in childhood, really. Our parents, some of our parents put that shame and guilt on us from the beginning that caused us to be confused for the rest of our life. And then we begin to explore, or as this, it talks about, exercise our conscious need to have fun with our bodies and other bodies. So let's just listen once again to Neil Donald Walsh's journal book about conversations with God on the topic of sex and sexuality. And, of course, there is no devil with whom to traffic.
Is sex okay? Come on, what is the real story behind this human experience? Is sex purely for procreation, as some religions say? Is true holiness and enlightenment achieved through denial or transmutation of the sexual energy? Is it okay to have sex without love? Is just the physical sensation of it okay enough as a reason?
Of course sex is okay. Again, if I didn't want you to play certain games, I wouldn't have given you the toys. You give your children things you don't want them to play with? Play with sex. Play with it. It's wonderful fun. Why, it's just about the most fun you can have with your body if you're talking of strictly physical experiences alone. But for goodness sake, don't destroy sexual innocence and pleasure and the purity of the fun, the joy, by misusing sex. Don't use it for power, for hidden purpose, for ego gratification or domination, for any purpose other than the purest joy and the highest ecstasy given and shared, which is love and love recreated, which is new life. Have I not chosen the delicious way to make more of you? With regard to denial, I've dealt with that before. Nothing holy has ever been achieved through denial. Your desires change as even larger realities are glimpsed. It is not unusual, therefore, for people to simply desire less or even no sexual activity. Or for that matter, any of a number of activities of the body. For some, the activities of the soul become foremost and by far the more pleasurable. Each to his own without judgment. That is the motto. The end of your question is answered this way. You don't need to have a reason for anything. Just be cause. Be the cause of your experience. Remember, experience produces concept of self. Conception produces creation. Creation produces experience. You want to experience yourself as a person who has sex without love? Go ahead. You'll do that until you don't want to anymore. And the only thing that will, that could ever cause you to stop this or any behavior, is your newly emerging thought about who you are. It's as simple and as complex as that.
Why did you make sex so good, so spectacular, so powerful a human experience if all we're supposed to be doing is staying away from it as much as we can? What gives? And for that matter, why are all fun things either immoral, illegal, or fattening?
I've answered the end of this question with what I've just said. All fun things are not immoral, illegal, or fattening. Your life is, however, an interesting exercise in defining what fun is. To some, fun means sensations of the body. To others, fun may be something entirely different. It all depends on who you think you are and what you are doing here. There is much more to be said about sex than is being said here, but nothing more essential than this. Sex is joy. And many of you have made sex everything else but. Sex is sacred too. Yes. But joy and sacredness do mix. They are in fact the same things. And many of you think they do not. Your attitudes about sex form a microcosm of your attitudes about life. Life should be a joy. A celebration. And it has become an experience of fear, anxiety, not enoughness, envy, rage, and tragedy. The same can be said about sex. You have repressed sex, even as you have repressed life,
rather than fully self-expressing with abandon and joy. You have shamed sex, even as you have shamed life, calling it evil and wicked, rather than the highest gift and the greatest pleasure. Before you protest that you have not shamed life, look at your collective attitudes about it. 4/5 of the world's people consider life a trial, a tribulation, a time of testing, a karmic debt that must be paid, a school with harsh lessons that must be learned, and in general, an experience to be endured while awaiting the real joy, which is after death. It's a shame that so many of you think this way. Small wonder you have applied shame to the very act which creates life. The energy which underscores sex is the energy which underscores life, which is life. The feeling of attraction and the intense and often urgent desire to move toward each other, to become one, is the essential dynamic of all that lives. I have built it into everything. It is inbred, inherent, inside all that is. The moral codes, religious constrictions, social taboos, and emotional conventions you have placed around sex, and by the way, around love and all of life, have made it virtually impossible for you to celebrate your being. From the beginning of time, all man has ever wanted is to love and be loved. And from the beginning of time, man has done everything in his power to make it impossible to do that. Sex is an extraordinary expression of love. Love of another, love of self, love of life. You ought to therefore love it. And you do. You just can't tell anyone you do. You don't dare show how much you love it, or you'll be called a pervert. Yet this is the idea that is perverted. For you personally, simply know this. I have given you nothing shameful, least of all your very body and its functions. There is no need to hide your body or its functions, nor your love of them and of each other. Your television programs think nothing of showing naked violence, but shrink from showing naked love. Your whole society reflects that priority.
Is there life on other planets? Have you been visited?
That was a portion of the audio from Neil Donald Walsh's book, Conversations with God, and that was, of course, on sex and sexuality. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about consolidating and integrating like-minded communities and souls. And sex talk is part of that integration and consolidation to bring us to a place of unity and joy and love. And one of the most extreme comments about sex that I've heard was from a woman I worked for a while a few years ago. And she said to me, sex is for animals. And I was like, okay, well, where'd you get that idea? Sex is for animals. And she said, because she had come into an experience of having an orgasm without physical contact. And I thought this was the most fascinating comment and conversation that I had with this woman, because she just had thought of sex as dirty and for animals. And her experience as a child was different, of course, and as an adult. This woman is in her 40s, actually. But her attitude was she hadn't had a pleasurable physical experience. In fact, I would guess that the men, and I don't know, I think she was probably involved with men, that the men were not on the same level of energy and consciousness as she was. Because if you're at a place where you can have a climax or orgasm without physical contact, because of the conversation you're having with someone or just the energy in the room or something like that, you're on a whole different level, a whole different dimension of having experiences in this journey. So I fully got that. I understood what she was talking about. And if both partners are not on the same level of consciousness. That's what you get. One of them thinks it's like having an experience with an animal. And because of the heavy focus on the climax and the heavy focus on physical, and as I'm learning more and more, this whole spiritual energy exchange is not about the physical as much as it is the breath and the mental part of pausing in the physical experience and experiencing that joy and sacredness that we just heard about from your partner exchanging with you the same mental consciousness, energy, and physical presence, and not looking at the goal of the big O. So that's part of our renewing of our mind. And as I said, Caroline Tang sent me a notice that Pluto has returned to Aquarius, which means it's a new beginning for humanity from March 23rd to June 11th. It's an energy to open our minds, think differently, and be more receiving of new knowledge, new ways of doing things in your life that you've been involved in for years and years to come. So we've got a caller, and before we leave, though, I'm going to play for you an audio from a Dr. Chandra about adolescent health, because as I shared, my grandson, 6-year-old grandson, was having a very sexual experience with water yesterday at the water park, smiling and giggling because the water was shooting up into his crotch. And so I'm sharing with him actually Neil Donald Walsh's audio, and I found this audio that I'm going to play for you later about adolescent health in this area. So if you have any comments about that, I'm more than welcome to share that with my son. I'm trying to back away from introducing his children, my grandchildren, to this topic. I want him to be the first introduction. And again, if you have any comments about how to introduce the topic of sex to children, I'm more than open to hear from you. Let me hear from Papa Kwame. Son Horace, what sayest thou about this topic?
Well, it's a good topic to be discussing in spring. You know, this is the season of that nature rising and procreating. This is the season of spring. How I see what you played with Neil Donald Walsh. I don't know if you saw the movie. You're playing the book, and the book was more in depth. But they had a scene in the movie where the secretary or the lady that was working at the radio station that he was working at, and they were out catching a bus or something, and he was trying to look at her and talk about a date, and she looked at him and told him, you know, that would be like a birth certificate. Now, that would be like a birth certificate and a driver's license when he asked her, you know, about them getting together. And that was just a little snippet. And then what he was saying on the audio that you were sharing was that sex is the highest of energy exchange between two humans. But the lady that found out what your grandson has found out, that I get stimulation from water touching my unhooded phallus, and that feels different. And that's the part that you're going to make him, well, not make him, but share with him that you're going to get these sensations. How old is he? About what, 6 or 7?
Going on 7. He'll be 7 in a couple of months.
And that's the next seed, that's the first 5 years is developing the person. The next 7 years, because we go in stages of 7. So he's
right.
Going in that, and then he'll be 14. That's the adolescence. That's when his body makes the change from child to adolescent. Because then his body develops its reproduction ability. And so this is the time when these things will become aware to him even more so and greater. Even they even did studies on infants, and that infants are aroused and don't know what's going on, but they know that this feels good when I touch myself in a certain place. And so these are very pivotal times, because I remember when I was in a psych class, and we were talking about homosexuality, and the scenario that the professor gave us is that a little boy walks down into the kitchen and tells his mother, he says, "Mommy, Mommy, look," and he's standing there with his little penis erect, and she turns around and smacks him and says, "Don't you ever do that, get upstairs," or whatever. Then he goes outside and he's starting to play with his little friends, and they're all having that same experience that they discover that they can get erect. And so each one of them starts showing theirs, and there's an inner exchange. The male says, it's okay for us to do this. The female says, you dare not do this. That's the first part of changing the way the child perceives.
Thank you for that, because we, on Friday night, it was really interesting to hear the adults in the room, in the circle, sharing that they did experience homosexual relationships, and yet they came to a place of awareness and understanding that was exactly what Neil talked about, just an exercise to determine what was fun for them. And coming out of, especially, a traumatic experience where sometimes the mother or the father has the first seed planted that this is bad, or you should be ashamed, or fear or anxiety. So, and Naima says, people who have been introduced to sex through a trauma, such as childhood molestation or rape, will have great difficulty seeing sex as a spiritual act. They will have difficulty seeing an orgasm as a spiritual connection to other dimensions. So
right.
I'm just learning to accept that reality and not judge people about it. Because when you sit in a room full of adults, 30 adults, and they're all being very transparent and sharing their journey in this spiritual energy exchange, it's so enlightening and so refreshing to be able to sit there and not judge it. You know, it's just like it is what it is. That was your story. Thank you for sharing that and helping me come out of judgment, because each one of us, as I said, have a cultural, it's not about race in my mind at all. It's about a cultural experience, because it really depends on the culture you grow up in as to how
right.
you're going to react or respond in future relationships.
And that's an excellent point, because the key word is culture. If
yes.
we live on the continent, or we live in a tropical area, and everybody runs around with a piece of leaf on, or just running around and everybody runs around naked, there is no stimulation of trying to see something hidden. Everything is in clear view to you. You don't have that concept, because you see the women, you see the boys, you see the men, you see the girls. And so that part right there gives body identification to where there's nothing that is hidden. The only part that comes with it when they take the young man, when he comes into adolescence, the young girl when she has the first cycle, is to add the lessons. Now you are able to reproduce new life, and these are the things you need to know about what your body is, because you're already seeing what everybody's body is. Now you
right.
add the lessons. But what we have now is, you know, we're inundated by selling sex as commercials, magazines. You know, the first that they say 80% of young black boys get more stimulation because the first pornography they seen were white women.
Right. Right.
The
and
first
that's
pornography that's scary.
Yeah, yeah, and that's Kanye West's story. He tells about in his documentary and in his own life how he was introduced to women in a Playboy magazine. Well, back in that time, it was probably mostly white women in Playboy, naked women. So it's easy for me not to judge his relationships today like some people like to do, that he's been attracted to those type of women, you know, all his young life, and that's his introduction to sexuality. Now, I'm dealing with something else that maybe you could share some wisdom. My granddaughter is starting to get buds on her chest, okay? And her mother is already putting her on this in this restricted bra. And her attitude is throw that bra away. My granddaughter wants to, when my son brought it out today as, you know, maybe putting that on under her white T-shirt, he said, she doesn't need to wear a white T-shirt because she's going to be getting wet. And I'm like, what's wrong with white T-shirt? Don't you know when what happens when you wear a white T-shirt and it gets wet? And I'm like, no, what's the T-shirt? Oh, the nipples show. Oh, excuse me. The nipples going to show. So just what we're talking about, we like to hide these things. Her mother wants to hide her boob, her little buds that are coming out at 8 years old. And I'm like, no, we don't need to do that. If she's 8 years old, don't need a restrictive bra. And she's right there with me in that this thing is too uncomfortable. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And yet the mother, on the other hand, is saying, oh, you need to wear a bra. You got to cover. And then my son's like, well, she can't wear a white T-shirt because she's going to get wet. And During spring break the other week, I was in a Walgreens, and these teenagers were walking around in Walgreens with G-strings on and bikinis. I'm like, my friend and I were like taking a double check because there was like half-naked women in Walgreens pharmacy, and you got women and parents on the, well, you can't let them wear a white T-shirt. It might get wet and your nipples might show. So this is like the crazy brainwashing that we really need to come out of. And I'm so loose and free now as
but
grandma.
What you said is the statement, those ones that were walking with the thong on or the G-string, whatever, they were not our complexion, were they?
Yes, they were. They were teenagers.
They were?
All different cultures of teenagers. Walk. They were like college students or something. No, all college. They were all colors. They were. I mean, it was a mindset, Kwame. It wasn't even about race or anything. It was a mindset. These teenagers were wild.
What I'm sharing is because the thing that they had with advertisement, and on movies, they show the women in T-shirts and the wet T-shirt contest. This is whole concept of. This relates to sex. This is advertisement where that little child is just budding, and but the thing that you should go in and do your research, bras are linked to women's breast cancer. Some of the wire bras, because it restricts the ducts in the women's body, and that causes that inflammation to over time create that. When you go to countries that don't wear bras, you don't find as much breast cancer in women.
Or even fibroids. Yeah, there's all kinds of imbalances in those breasts, the milk ducts and the tissues of the breast that happen when you're restricting them with a bra. And I feel it's my job to educate my son, at least. My daughter, ex-daughter-in-law, that's another whole other story because there's a lot of narcissism in that area. But as far as my son and the relationship that we have here with his daughter and his son, we're going to do our best to bring them to a level of consciousness in these young years. And that's what I hope all of you listening will do in your own family environment. This is about coming into a consciousness about the communities you live in and how we can start to develop the consolidation, integration, and solidify a strong, like-minded community and let it grow so that we can move away from the influence of the government and the influence of politicians and all those people in the countries and cities that have harmed our psyche, our emotions over the last 2 years. We need to develop a strong community of like-minded people right now and come into an awareness that we can stay woke. And as I said earlier, I heard Erica Badu in an interview today define woke. This is what I'm going to push from now on when it comes to that word woke, because that word is so misused and so misunderstood. But her definition was being aware and in alignment with nature, period. Simple. Woke is
right.
Aware of nature.
And she, and I saw that interview also, but I also saw, you know, a person, Greg Carr, on in class with Carr, gave the history of that word came all the way back when we was into to slavery. That
yeah.
word, it died out and it came back, and the person was telling the person, beware.
Yeah.
Stay woke.
Yeah.
Don't fall off to sleep because you were trying to escape. Stay woke. You know,
yeah.
so that word, but what happens I'm with
muted.
Words is that they take something that we create and then they take it and spin off of it and then they take it to change for what they want it to mean. And, well, what's the old saying? What is it? Something about flattery is the highest form. Imitation is the highest form of flattery. When you have
right.
to imitate someone, that means that I've created, gave me something. Now you want to take it and you want to put your connection to it and make it yours. It's everybody's because as long as it's in my head, it's mine. Out my mouth, it's everybody's.
Hallelujah. We got to take our last break. So, Naima, your mic is open. When I'll just stop talking. And it really is a time to be paying attention to words. Etymology is the word, I think. Study of words. Because we got a vice president, Kamala Harris. She loves word salads. I've never seen anybody, what they call word salad. That term has shown up so much when it comes to Kamala Harris because she'll go on talking about answering. What did she say? So anyway, words are key. Woke means being aware and in alignment with nature or consciousness. So, Naima, your mic is open if you would like to play our last group of commercials. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Dr. Chandra about adolescent health, how and why it's important to teach this subject to our adolescents.
And if you're on the Female Solutions switchboard, please press 1 now so I can let our host know that you have something to say. Don't wait till the last minute when we got to go. Press 1 now if you have a thought. And we'll be right back.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for a thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks, and thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We are back. If you have a question, you can press 1 if you're in the studio. We've got Zelda in the Facebook page, and I'm keep going in and out on Facebook. Zelda is going to be joining us tomorrow morning on Female Solution. April is Stress Relief Month. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Learn 1-minute stress relief strategies with Zelda. And I think her guest tomorrow is Lionel. So you don't want to miss Higher Learning TV and YouTube. Watch it tomorrow at 8, 7 Central, April Stress Relief Month, learning more about mindfulness every Monday morning. So if you're just joining us, we've been talking about consolidating, integrating with a group of like-minded people and letting that community grow and grow and grow to strengthen your economic community, bartering, and conversations like we're having tonight with people who are conscious, where you don't have to feel like you're going to be judged. And so, and even the most important thing and the most important intention I have tonight is helping us train or talk to conversations with our youth about this topic, so that we don't have a repeat of what we learned as children, now being senior citizens or adults, that we can educate this youth to have healthier attitudes about spiritual energy exchange. So I found a short teaching from a Dr. Chandra about adolescent health.
I think there are 5 points about sexuality education. First is sexuality education is often seen as telling young people to put on condoms when they are not really ready to have sex. Sexuality education includes 3 things. One is it improves knowledge and understanding. Second is it is intended to build equitable norms and values, and to promote self-reflection among adolescents. And thirdly, it aims to build social skills to refuse unwanted sex or to negotiate safe sex when needed. So it's a whole lot of things, and it really is not just about sex and reproduction. It really aims to prepare young people for a healthy sexual and reproductive life and a pleasurable sexual and reproductive life, and to prevent problems if and when and to obtain care if and when these problems occur. The second point I'd like to make is there's convincing evidence from around the world that well-designed and well-delivered sexuality education programs result in good and do not cause harm. Well-designed, well-delivered sexuality education programs can improve knowledge and understanding, promote healthy behaviors, when combined with a healthy dose of gender and discussion of gender and power, it has actually been shown to reduce health problems, unwanted pregnancies, sexually transmitted infections, HIV. The third point I'd like to make is that children and adolescents need sexuality education. They need sexuality education because they often don't know about their bodies. They don't know about puberty. They don't know about how to protect themselves and to avoid sexual and reproductive health problems. For instance, many adolescents in many parts of the world do not use contraception because they are really scared of its side effects. And if they have problems, they don't know where to go for help. Children and adolescents need sexuality education, and they have a right to sexuality education. And this is enshrined in the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Knowledge, information, and education for survival and for well-being. The fourth point, and the sad point, is that we're failing our children and adolescents. We're failing them at home, we're failing them at school, and we're failing them in our communities. Even today, in many parts of the world, high, middle, and low-income countries, it's easier for a girl or a boy to access pornography with a few quick clicks of their mouths rather than to be able to talk to an adult who cares for them, who's responsible for them, a parent, an elder sibling, an uncle, an aunt, a teacher, a health worker, about their bodies, about sex, about reproduction. And this stems from a deep-seated lack of willingness to accept that adolescents are sexual beings. Springing from that is this either denial of adolescent sexuality, refusing to accept adolescent sexuality, and when there is evidence that it's occurring, to wish it away. And so sexuality education is often seen, if it is seen as useful at all, it is seen as useful in telling young people not to have sex. I'm 60, and you know, the sexuality education I had when I was a student of 13 in growing up in Bombay in India was on the sidelines of the school playground. I heard about it from a peer. And sadly, that's true still in so many parts of the world. The big difference is when I was growing up, we didn't have the internet and we didn't have pornography being thrust at you from various sources. That's what we have to deal with today. It's not information that's corrupting young people. It's misinformation which is confusing young people, leaving them really worried about what's happening in their world. To end on a positive note, earlier this year, UNESCO led a group of UN agencies, including WHO, to publish an updated international technical guidance on sexuality education, updated from the 2009 version. This is a powerful document in that it provides evidence of the need for sexuality education, the effectiveness of sexuality education, and provides guidance on how it can be designed and applied even in the most conservative contexts. And it contains a whole section on points to make and arguments to use in addressing the concerns, questions, misinformation that decision makers, families, communities in many places have. And the very last point to make is that a small but growing number of countries are actually biting the bullet, if you like. They recognize that they need to provide sexuality education, and they're getting going with it. In the past, these was Northern European countries. Now you have countries around the world, countries such as Zambia, countries such as Colombia, countries such as Thailand. These are countries who are beginning to recognize that we cannot hide our heads in the sand anymore, and that in this crossroads we really have to acknowledge, and that adolescents need sexuality education, and that we have to get going to deliver it to them. Thank you.
Adolescents need sexual education. That has never been a more true statement when you look around at all the confusion about gender right now. And I can't help but think that it is the result of parents not taking responsibility to educate these young people at a very at whenever needed. Like I see right away from my grandson's experience with the water that it's now's the time to sit him down eye to eye and start talking on his level. And this 6 year old and I'm thinking most 6 and 8 year olds, they got tablets now, so they're learning a lot. They're not stupid, and they can grasp things quickly. So if you've got grandchildren and if you've got parent or if you've got children, now's the time to sit down with them and educate them about their bodies. Because if you don't, then they've got plenty of transgender shows they want to bring into the school and bring in, then talk about how wonderful it is to be a girl when you're a boy. Any other confusing misinformation, as he said, the problem is in our society there's too much misinformation versus, I believe, parents or responsible adults giving these children a healthy viewpoint of their bodies at an early age and then demonstrating it in the household what it means to have sexual energy in the body and controlling it, so to speak, because each to his own without judgment is the teaching from Neil Donald Walsh. And spiritual energy exchange is what the human being is so unaware of most of their lives. I didn't start thinking about it, spiritual energy exchange until maybe the last 7, 8, 9 years. And so why not start introducing our children to this term and to the teaching? Okay, and once again, my StreamYard has dropped, and I'll have to try and get back. But if you have any comments or questions, now's the time. We only have about 10 minutes left. And I want to get into building relationships a little bit, because that is where my focus will be over the next few weeks, months, years, in building relationships, social capital with people of like mind, so that we can change the dynamics of this country, the government, get the government out of our lives, the psychopaths and the warmongers. We have to re-educate our society on what it means to be a citizen, I think, in the United States. So what does that mean when it comes to building relationships?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a real serious problem. There was a study that was recently conducted by Gallup, and what the study said was that when individuals feel that they can't find people who think like them politically or any type of ideology, what they do is segregate themselves and isolate themselves from others. And that's a problem, because in a time where there is increasingly more division, we really need each other more than ever before. And so I want to tell you a little bit about why proximity and why presence is so important in terms of building relationships. And I want to start with telling you my own personal story. So I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana. For many people out here, some folks who give love, Shreveport, for many of you in Dallas, would call it East Texas. The reality is that it is actually a part of the state of Louisiana. And Shreveport is a city that is more than 50% African American. The state of Louisiana is one of the highest. It's the second in the country with the largest African American population. And as a kid growing up, even though I saw all these people who looked like me, segregation was really apparent. There were certain parts of the community that I remember growing up in that you may not have wanted to go to at certain times because you didn't look like the community. And so I noticed for my family that the way that they dealt with that was through their own faith. And so I want to pull up this picture of my grandparents. My grandparents were amazing. You can tell they're gorgeous people, too. And my grandfather fought for this country, and as a black man and fighting for freedom, couldn't really experience that freedom for himself. And so he ended up moving into a community called Cedar Grove with my grandmother. And my grandmother was one of the wisest people that I've ever known. She only went up to a sixth grade education. Loved Jerry Springer while she was alive, I must say that. But she was one of the most brilliant people that I ever knew. And what I learned from them was the impact of community, because they took me to church. And I saw them as my grandfather as a deacon and my grandmother in the choir. And church was a way where they were able to have a sense of freedom and community. But this was the thing that was so interesting. At church, I saw people who looked like me who were landscapers and teachers and folks who just wanted the best for their families. They had five children, my dad being the second oldest. And my dad and my mother is here today, my dad and my mother were high school sweethearts, and they went to college together, went to Paul Quinn College, which at that time was in Waco, Texas. And my dad graduated from Paul Quinn in 1970 as Mr. Paul Quinn College. My mother did not graduate from college and went back home to take care of her elderly mother. But my dad, upon graduating, had a degree in physical education. And he could not find a job that paid enough money to take care of his family. So instead, he decided to wait tables. So my dad met a man by the name of Abe Rittman, who was so known in Shreveport for having a restaurant called Abe's Seafood and Steakhouse. And Mr. Rittman not only gave my dad a job, he actually changed his trajectory. Mr. Rittman opened up the door to his restaurant but taught my dad how to open up his own business. And in the 80s, this 6'6" black man opened a restaurant that had a full bar, had a jazz band on weekends, and I got a chance in that space to see some amazing people come through. I saw athletes and actors and politicians and all these different people who didn't always look like me who were coming to this space who felt safe, who enjoyed great food around music, and some adult beverages as well. I went to a high school that was called Cattle Magnet High School in Shreveport, and this is the thing that's so interesting. I mentioned to you that my city was more than 50% African American, but my high school was not. My high school was a place in which my graduating class, there were 269 of us who graduated, and a little over 70 of us were African American. In a community that was completely African-American, but those students were bussed out so that we could come into their school, their former school, and be a part of this new pilot program of looking at magnet schools for students. And in that space, I got a chance to see folks who had enormous wealth. I had classmates who drove Jaguars, who drove Saabs, I'm not kidding, in ninth grade. I saw people who had homes behind their parents' homes that they lived in high school. And that opportunity exposed me to so many different ways of living and different experiences. And then I left and went to UT Arlington. UTA was such a different experience for me because there, not only did I just see black and white as I had experienced at home, my whole world changed. My roommate was very wealthy from Connecticut. My other roommate was from El Paso. I had all of these different experiences, and as you're noticing, there are these relationships that began to develop in my life that gave me great exposure and expanded my network. I then had the opportunity to work at the University Outreach Center in Dallas with an amazing Latina by the name of Michelle Bobadilla, who to this day is still a mentor and dear friend of mine. And Michelle saw me volunteering. I was teaching a diversity class on weekends, and in retrospect, they should have never allowed me to teach that class because those poor kids now are probably really messed up. But I thought I was teaching them something amazing, and Michelle Bobadilla was watching me. And she opened up the door for me at 21 years old to get an assistant director position with Texas A&M University and their outreach center here in Dallas, working with first-generation college students or potential college students. And that was another amazing experience. After a year, I left and moved to Oklahoma City because I realized I needed a little bit more education to pursue some things I wanted to do. And so at Oklahoma City, what was very interesting there was I was now not just a black female. I was American because Oklahoma City University at that time recruited students who were from other countries heavily and a lot more than they did recruit American students. So in this space, I had folks who were becoming my friend because I could speak English. And it totally changed my trajectory of having friends who were from Iraq and from all these different places around the world. And then the culminating experience for me was going to India. And so I had a chance as a part of a documentary called Friendly Captivity, where seven of us from Dallas actually went to India to understand that as much as we thought folks were in captivity and had issues there, we had a lot more issues here than we realized. And what was amazing in that experience is that I had women who walked up to me and pulled up their sleeves and said, same, same. These women were Dalits, the untouchables, and they had an experience similar to what people of color all over the world have in dealing with colorism. And in that moment, I recognized that color is an issue that not just it happens here in the U.S., it is a global issue that we're wrestling with and still haven't been able to deal with and decipher. And all of those experiences have been so impactful on the woman that I became, because with each of those, you see this portrait that's been created, a web of relationships. And at that time, I didn't realize what I was building. I realized that I was building something called social capital. Social capital, I'll be very honest, my dissertation research is around this term. But my issue with it is that we have to be careful with thinking that relationships are only transactional, because they're not. Relationships can be that way, but we also have to begin to start thinking about relationships as being transformational. And so social capital is this big term that really means networks, associations, relationships. There is a guy in the early 1900s who saw some people talking. His name was Hannifin, and he coined the term and said, that's social capital. People are connecting and making relationships. And this is the thing about social capital. It's important, but it does not work unless there's trust. If we do not have trust, it is the glue to build our networks and our relationships.
So I love that story, partly because she shares her father's choices that he made, and he was a physical education instructor, and which is the same type of job my father had, only my father didn't go into becoming an entrepreneur. He stayed in that job, became a head coach, a head of the department of physical, because that was his passion. So I want to encourage all of you to develop your passion, no matter what field you're in, no matter where you are in life, and especially may you develop a passion to develop relationships in your community, regardless of color or race, but develop relationships as I have begun this past week with people of like minds, people who share their journey openly, transparently, and who give you and me an opportunity to grow by not judging them. When people can share openly, transparently, every detail of their sex life, you know you're in company with people who want to connect and build something great and valuable in the community. So thank you all for being here and listening to these stories and this information. And I hope you'll take this back into your own community and begin to be more woke and being aware of, and being aligned with nature. That to me is most important, that we in fact connect with nature first and foremost, and then teach our children how natural everything that goes on in their body is. And then we as adults, let's grow into a more spiritual energy exchange experience and have loving, wonderful relationships with our partners. So everybody, see you tomorrow in Female Solution with Beth. And we're going to say goodbye to our global family. Thank you all for being here with me and share this knowledge and information.
To the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xie xie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.